Good morning and welcome to Redeemer. We're glad you're here and glad you've joined us for worship today. For those of you at home, I'll remind you we will be having Holy Communion later in this service, and I invite you to get your communion elements ready at your home to celebrate communion as we take it here. I'll also remind you of Vespers on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. That's online only. We invite you to join us for our midweek worship as well. Now, as you know, we can't pass the offering plates, but it is near the doors as you exit. And if you're watching online, you can make your gift through the mail, drop it by the church, or access our church website. There are ways to give there as well. Today is Reformation Sunday. That's the time when we celebrate that we recognize that the church needed reforming in the past, needs reforming now, and will need reforming in the future. And so we think about that and think about the ways God might be calling us and the new future God might be calling us into. Next Sunday is All Saints Sunday, and I'll remind you, if you have names of those who have died since last All Saints, last November 1st, we invite you to give those names to the church office to be remembered during the service next week, and please have those in by Wednesday so that we can be including them. Let me also remind you that next Sunday, our worship time changes. We will be worshiping in one service at 11 o'clock. That was bad. We'll be worshiping in one service at 10 o'clock. Let's try. This is our old worship time, the time we were until we started coming back after the pandemic. We felt it was safe enough to come back. Next week, we're going back to our one worship at 10 o'clock. So for those of you at home, we'll be streaming at 10 o'clock, not at 11. So 10 o'clock next week. Also, let me remind you that next weekend, the daylight savings time ends. So I encourage you on Saturday night before you go to bed to please put your clocks back an hour so you'll be here on time for church. You can come an hour early if you'd like, but you'll just be here with me. Or maybe Vicar Amanda. Don't forget to do that next week. The weekend after that, on November 8th, we have our annual congregational meeting following our worship service. So please plan to be part of that. We'll have information on the 2021 spending plan available for you. You should have gotten it in the Friday e-newsletter if you get the e-newsletter, and it was attached to that, and we'll have hard copies out here by the time you're here next week. And I think that's finally all that I need to say right now, Vicar Amanda. I think I'll let you talk for a while. All right.
So today, because we are having a funeral this afternoon, our book study that usually meets at 2 p.m. online will not be meeting this week. We'll just go ahead and pick up next week for that on November 1st. Also, a reminder to anybody that has 6th through 12th graders or knows any 6th through 12th graders that would be interested in youth group, we're having a lot of fun on Monday evenings at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're wearing masks and doing our best to social distance and having games outside. So our youth group, we're encouraging and inviting anybody who would be interested to come join us for games and fun and community building. Did I talk long enough? Is that okay?
That's okay.
Okay, can I preach later too?
Not that long.
Oh, okay. No. Well.
All right. Let us rise and prepare for our worship with our order for confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us and all of creation. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Faithful God, have mercy on us. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We turn from your loving embrace and go our own ways.
We pass judgment on one another before examining ourselves. We place our own needs before those of our neighbors. We keep your gift of salvation to ourselves. Make us humble. Cast away our transgressions and turn us again to life in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
God hears the cries of all who call out in need. And through his death and resurrection, Christ has made us his own. Hear the truth that God proclaims. Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Led by the Holy Spirit, live in freedom and newness to do God's work in the world. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord of mercy, Christ of mercy, Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial. Defend them against all enemies of the gospel. And bestow on the church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Be seated, and with the children, please come forward. Hey guys, it is so good to see you. And I need your help today. Will y'all be willing to help me with something? Okay. God has a message he's trying to tell everybody out there, and it's our job to tell him. Can we do that? All right, but the first thing we're going to do, do y'all know how to whisper? Okay, so we're going to whisper the message to them, all right? And here's what the message is. We're going to whisper that message to them, okay? 1, 2, 3. God loves you. Y'all didn't whisper. Do you think they heard me? Vicar Amanda, did you hear that message?
I didn't.
Uh-oh. Mr. Jim, did you hear that message?
I didn't hear a thing.
Maybe we should say it a little bit louder. Do you remember what the message was? Okay, let's try it on the count of three. We're going to say it just a little bit louder than a whisper, okay? 1, 2, 3. God loves you. Y'all didn't do it either. I did it. You did it. Okay. Charlotte did too. Mr. Varner, did you hear anything? No. Mr. Dan, you didn't either? What if we shouted it? Do you think they'd hear it if we shouted it? Okay, on the count of three, we're going to shout, okay? And don't just let me shout. Y'all shout too, okay? Okay. You know, remember what it was we're supposed to say? Okay. 1, 2, 3. God! No, you're not doing it. No, you got to do it. All right, let's try that one more time. Yell it out. Have you ever yelled before? Yes. You pretend you're outside and you're going to use your outside voices and you yell as like you're on the playground and you see a friend way across the playground and you want to tell them this important thing, okay? And this is a really important message. Ready? 1, 2, 3. God loves you. Y'all didn't do it again. But it's still, that's an important message, isn't it? Yes, and that's the message that our scripture passages today are telling us, that God loves us and wants us and wants to tell us how much God loves us. And so that's what we're thinking about today. And that's a message that's not just to Jordan and Charlotte, it's a message for everybody out there. And they all need to hear that, don't you think? Yeah. So that's the message we're telling here in church, and that's the message you should tell other people, and the message you should everybody all the time is share that message that God loves them. And that's what we're thinking about today. Okay, can we pray? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us and help us to tell everybody everywhere about your love. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord. Be to God.
The first lesson is from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah.
The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning. It's so good to see all of you and for all of you that are joining us online. So I have a question today. Have you ever played a game called Two Truths and a Lie? Some of you maybe. We've played it at youth group before. I've played it as kind of an icebreaker game, a get-to-know-you game. And it's fairly simple. Each person thinks of three statements about themselves. Two of them are true, and one of them is a lie. So here's an example. I'll give you those three statements about myself, and you try to think of which one is the lie. So the first one, I grew up in Texas. The second one, I have a goldfish named Puddles. And then the third one is, my favorite color is green. So, because it's okay for us to have an interactive sermon, right? I'm going to ask you to raise your hand for which one you think is the lie. And if you're online, you can write it in the comments section which one you think is the lie. If you were here for first service, don't give them the answers. Okay. All right. So who thinks the statement that I grew up in Texas is a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Got a few. Who thinks the statement that I have a goldfish named Puddles is the lie? Okay, a few more. All right. And who thinks my favorite color is green is the lie? Oh, we got a few more over here. All right. If you said that the lie was about the goldfish, you're right. I do not have a goldfish named Puddles. But But I did grow up in Texas, and my favorite color is green. So thanks for playing my little game. And I think that that little game has an important point for us. You know at least two truths about me now, but how well do you know me? Truth, and knowing truth, it makes me think about our scripture for today. In our reading for today, we hear Jesus say, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth." So what is the truth? We're reading from the book of John, and this book of scripture talks about the truth an awful lot. The person who wrote the Gospel of John uses truth in a way that can be very different than we often do. For us, truth is often knowledge in our heads, or it's facts and figures, or a historical event. Accurate reporting, it's the lowercase t, truth. When we encounter truth in this piece of scripture, it's not a matter of encountering a specific set of teachings or church doctrine or belief systems. The truth that is being referred to here is Jesus himself. Jesus is the capital T, truth. So if we look at dictionary definitions, our friends at Merriam-Webster have the definitions that you might expect to find about truth. Real things, events, and facts, but they also define truth as a transcendent, fundamental, or spiritual reality. So Jesus, as the capital T, truth, is a basic, holy realness beyond our understanding. And I think that we can work with that definition. Jesus is basic and foundational. Jesus is holy, sacred, set apart, special. Jesus embodies the realness of God incarnate, becoming flesh, just like us. And Jesus is beyond understanding. I don't know about you, but there is no way that I will ever be able to completely wrap my mind around all of this. Yet, our scripture for today says that you will know the truth. So Jesus is the truth, and we will know him. It doesn't mean that we know the exact precise date and location of his birth. It doesn't mean that we know exactly which hillside the Sermon on the Mount was given or which specific rock that he sat on. These specifics are part of the lowercase t, truth. And while they're interesting and they create curiosity, and there's nothing wrong with being interested in those, it's the capital T, truth, that is vital. It is knowing Jesus. It is abiding and waiting, sitting with and being in Jesus. Knowing the truth means knowing Jesus. Jesus is that capital T truth, and knowing Jesus means a relationship with him, living a pattern of life that mirrors his, loving people that he loves, encountering the world with the same compassion that he does. And it's knowing the truth of Jesus that we are set free. The people that Jesus was speaking with in the scripture took the idea of freedom as a physical freedom from slavery or servitude. They were thinking of a change in social status from a slave to a free person. And when that phrase falls on our ears, we may imagine freedom, freedom from addiction, freedom from pain, freedom from the cares of the world, or freedom from financial stressors, or freedom in a political or military sense. But Jesus is speaking of a freedom much more holistic and much more life-changing. Jesus is speaking about freedom from sin. And sin is anything that separates us from the love of God. We all sin. We all have fallen short. But Jesus says it is that capital T truth that sets us free. We are free from sin. Jesus sets us free from anything that keeps us from God. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Abiding in Jesus, knowing the truth, living in freedom, being free from sin, that is all true, and it is all good. And it is plenty to fill us with wonder and thanksgiving and love. And while we're pondering all of this truth, we're also remembering the Reformation of the church about 500 years ago, and the Reformation that we're now seeing in the church, and even looking into the future to the continued growth and development of our faith and our community. So with a nod to the church reformers like Martin Luther and many others, both past and present and those still yet to come, I ask us to consider. God's love, grace, mercy are all laid out for us. And our eternal salvation that was taken care of 2,000 years ago with Christ's life, death, and resurrection, period. We are freed from sin. What are we freed for? When we ask this question, it's not a matter of personal independence. This isn't a matter of being free for anything we individually desire. So what are we free for? It's also not an intellectual exercise to be played out theoretically in our minds. Merely declaring something as truth doesn't make it truth. Simply declaring freedom doesn't make you free. So what are we free for? In Christ, we are freed to live, not for ourselves, but like Christ, to live for the sake of others. We are living in the freedom of grace. But this is something that we can't truly know unless we offer grace to others. We are living in the freedom of love from God. But this is something that we can't truly know until we offer God's love and our love to others. We are freed from sin so that we may love other people. And so that looks like wearing a mask to protect others during a pandemic. Loving others looks like celebrating the multiple ways people of faith around the world live out their relationship with God, the Creator. We live Christ's love by lovingly feeding people, from those that walk past Redeemer's parking lot to those that are around the globe. But not stopping there. We are freed for addressing the reasons why people are hungry. Reasons like generational poverty, climate crisis, and low minimum wage. Reasons like underemployment, systemic racism, or a lack of education and resources, or even greed or indifference. We are called to be merciful to those in need. And at the same time, we are freed through Christ to be transformational in the world. Both are part of Christian freedom. Both are part of knowing that capital T truth in Jesus. We're called to feed the hungry and work to end reasons that hunger exists. This idea of being freed from sin and being freed for God's work in the world can be a lens to look at any issue our world faces today. It's not just hunger. We can address things like the racism that plagues our country. We can work for women's rights around the world. We can support those who are experiencing homelessness. We can care for refugees and asylum seekers and immigrants. We can work for health care for all people who are ill. All of these issues that Jesus himself dealt with. We have been freed for living and loving like Jesus does. Our scripture for today says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Liberation has come. God delivered you, God's people. The church is continuously being reformed, and you are set free for the sake of God's mission in the world. Go and live for others. Go and love others.
We confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Almighty God, we worship you today because of your grace. You are awesome in your power and majesty. But the thing that draws us to you most of all is the grace we receive through your Son, Jesus. We would be lost without your love for us. Thank you for the forgiveness, the freedom, and the faith your grace brings. Lord, in your mercy, God of all the human family, we worship you today in gratitude for the church. With Christians all over the world, we strive for justice and peace, and together we share the good news of your love for all. But more, as this pandemic continues, we have grown to know how important this family of faith is to us. Here we come together in worship. Here we support one another. Here we carry one another's burdens. Here we share our joy. Here our love has its source in your love. You have given us many gifts, loving Savior. But the gift of our church family means so much. Keep us always focused on you and strengthen our love for each other. Lord, in your mercy, God of compassion, we pray now for the many who are in need. Give your comfort, your healing, your help, your love, your strength to all in any need. Bless all your children, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, reform us, O God of grace. Reform us in your image, that all we are might show your love and grace to all the world. May our hearts desire to worship you, to read your word, to know you more each day. Increase our desire to pray, and in our prayers, be near to us. Make us your people, O God, held in your heart forever. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Mercy on us, Lamb.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, that you have once again fed us with food beyond compare, the body and blood of Christ. Lead us from this place, nourished and forgiven, into your beloved vineyard to wipe away the tears of all who hunger and thirst, guided by the example of the same Jesus Christ and led by the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Peace. Serve the Lord.